Did you know that the Hulk was originally gray? The first in the origin story years ago.
I did not know that. Why was he gray?
Well, you know, I learned that fans, for some reason I've never figured out, fans of superheroes, they love costumes. When I did the Fantastic Four in the first issue, I didn't give them costumes. And we started getting fan mail. And the fan mail read, "We love the book. It's great. We can't wait till the next issue. But if you don't give them costumes, we'll never buy another copy." So with the Hulk, here I was going to do a story about a monster, and I couldn't think of any reason why a monster would buy a costume for himself. So I figured I'll give him a different color skin. That's the next best thing. And I thought gray would be kind of spooky and scary, but what happened was the printer couldn't print it well. In some pages, he looked like he was dark gray. In some pages, it was light gray. In some pages, it was almost black. So being a comic book editor, you're a little bit like God. You can change anything. So I said, in the next issue, I'll give him a different color. And I looked around, and nobody seemed to be using green for a character. So I said, I'll make him green. And it was just as simple as that.
Well, and I think that's fascinating, too, that you were getting a sort of the interactive input from your fans. Things that people were writing to you in the formative years of those characters, like you mentioned with the costumes, but in other aspects of the character that you incorporated that originally came in just a letter in the mail?
Well, I got so much mail. And more than mail, I did a tremendous amount of lecturing at colleges and universities, and we'd always have questions and answers period. And I learned so much more from the people in the audience than they could ever learn from me. And it's so great. You talk to people who read your books, who care about the books, and they tell you what they like and dislike. So my job was easy. I didn't even do the work. The fans really did it for me.
Well, you know, that I preach a little on the side, and every once in a while someone will come up and they'll say something that they heard in the sermon, which I know I didn't say or I didn't think I said, mm-hmm. but they heard it in there, and they thank me for it later, and I go, well, that's really cool. Next time I'll do that on purpose. I mean, there are things like that that people catch that you may not have even known that you were putting in there. But
you are so right. Now, take the X-Men. I was just originally trying to get an interesting group of characters with interesting powers, and I thought it would make it twice as interesting if the public really didn't like them that much, and if they had to worry about their reception by the outside world. Little by little, I began getting mail saying how great it is that I'm doing these stories about bigotry and the evils of bigotry and so forth, and race hatred. And I guess I was doing that, but I was doing it subconsciously. That wasn't the main purpose.
And when the X-Men enjoyed its reincarnation on film, there was a lot of talk about how this was really the story of homophobia.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
And that was not wasn't part of the original blueprint.
No, it was the furthest thing from my mind.
Right. and so I love those characters. Of course, my kids are big time into them. And I have one son, Itchy, who's read all 8 volumes of the Essential X-Men. I think there are 8 now.
There is greatness in that young man.
Yeah. they're each like the size of a small city phone book. And he's read 8 of them. And he can't wait for more. And what he's fascinated with, and what I love about the stories, is how it relates to both the pain of being who you are as well as the great joy of realizing who you are. And these characters, I think, speak to that kind of adolescent angst.
You're absolutely right. Well, you know, the thing is, every writer who writes anything tries to make the characters as believable as possible and as empathetic as possible. You want the reader to understand the character and care about the character. And in order to do that, you've got to give the character weaknesses. You've got to give the character problems. You've got to show the things that worry the character and torture the character, as well as all of the great things about him. And then you get a real 100% of a person.
So what worried you, and what were you angst-ridden over when you were a teenager that showed up in the comics later?
Well, I think mainly the thing I was worried about was just security. in the time of the Depression, and my father was mostly unemployed, and our biggest problem was paying the rent in our little apartment every month. So that was the thing uppermost in my mind. And when I wrote Spider-Man, I guess I wasn't consciously thinking of it, but it must have been in my subconscious because I made Peter Parker a young man whose aunt never had enough money, and he was always concerned about making enough money for her so that she wouldn't lose the mortgage in her home and have to be kicked out of it.
You've had such success with the ones you've had. Are there characters you created that I don't know about because they just didn't catch on, that you thought were going to be a hit and it just kind of didn't?
I hate to say this because it's going to sound terrible, but I really didn't have any that didn't become hits.
No, there are no Green Lanterns in your past, in the sense of,
not that I can think, not since the Fantastic Four, when we started the so-called new Marvel Age. You know, we had called our books by a different name. I think we were Atlas Publishing before then. And after the Fantastic Four and the X-Men, Daredevil and the others, and we saw that we were on to something because the readers loved them, I decided to change the name of the whole line of comics. And we changed it to Marvel Comics. And I must say, every book that we published of a superhero or heroine under the name Marvel Comics, they've all been very well received, and they'll all be movies sooner or later.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I guess I thought there'd be, like, one, you know, there'd be, like, the Blue Bonnet or somebody that never quite caught on or something.
But no, not yet, but give us time.
I don't believe that. I'm sure you won't do that.